The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime. An embarrassing edition of Footy Prime today. It's the word du jour, as they say in some regions of Europe, given what we saw last night in the Canadian Championship. So we're going to talk some TFC and some Atletico Ottawa. We would also have a new segment called Pick and Choose. Okay? I'm going to give you some topics and we'll go around. You can each pick which one you want to talk about. And then there's also a mystery bag option as well. Okay. Mystery bag.
Kyle Becker, Craig Forrest, Marco Carducci. The mystery bag.
Mm-hmm. Although far less of a mystery nowadays since they are so open to discussing their.
Yes. Struggles. Get yourself checked out. It's Mental Awareness Month. Part of mental awareness is figuring out what you got going on with your body. Mm-hmm. So you're not guessing all the time. It's a ridiculous.
And it's not as if it's invasive. Give your balls a good fondle in the shower.
Yeah, and then
things do that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just be thoughtful about it, right?
If you had balls, you'd be doing it too.
Yeah, sure. I was going to say in the sack for the pick and choose, there's actually only one ball, and it's labeled number 12 for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Hey now, see what I'm wearing today?
Are we talking fix? Like there's the NBA?
Oh yeah, because John Chaker is so popular in the NHL, they're going to fix it for him.
Oh my god!
Oh god, you know what? Those moments you have with your kid. Like me and Josephine, we're such big Leaf fans, and she's really got into it the last couple of years, and we watch every game together. Right, it's a great kind of bonding dad daughter thing, and we're watching this draft. Right, we're doing that right, and I've warned her, so listen, just so you know, Joe, there's no chance they're going to win this. Not only that, but Boston will get our pick. Just so you know, Dad, you're so negative. No, honestly, you must learn this about being a Leaf fan. Nothing good ever happens.
Right.
I think it may have changed last night and switched. And we were so excited. It was a really, really fun evening in my household. First overall.
Did your grins match Matt Sundin's grin? Because that was a good
ear
grin.
Yes, ear to ear, as John Butchergrass said. Ear to ear. Anyway, we're not a hockey podcast. I wish we were. No. I've got a lot more to say about the Leafs if that was the case. But we are talking about soccer, and I mentioned the word embarrassment, right? Oh, by the way, Craig's here. It's like not even 6 a.m. right now where he's from in BC.
What a trooper.
Thanks for joining us, mate, as always. Yeah. Like you show up when you have to, and even when you don't have to, you show up, so thank you. Dubsy's here.
Even when you don't want him, he shows up.
I'm watching
Wonger.
He was in a green room of the broadcast yesterday. It's like, what the fuck for us?
Doing what?
Fondling his ball.
I lose my other ball, I'll be on the broadcast.
No, that would make you a eunuch.
That's right.
Different.
Yeah.
I was doing a family Zoom call to Scotland last week, and there's Craig. It's the strangest thing, you know? It always pops up. Anyway, JCC, Wongas, I'm Shams. No Jimmy as yet today. Probably not at all. Anyway, I'm embarrassed. It's related to TFC being smashed by the CPL's Atletico Ottawa last night. 3-1 now. Yes, TFC have tons of injuries. It wasn't a full-strength side, but you're still playing a CPL team that struggled mightily this campaign, and you're shown up on your home ground. Ozo, he mentioned the word embarrassed after the match. Robin Fraser said, "I hope you're embarrassed enough that Saturday you make a statement against Inter Miami." Just when there's hope and you see a little bit of light and you see, well, obviously the plan's there, but you know, there's a bit of a more positive vibe around TFC, Craig. They put in a really genuinely poor performance and lose to a CPL team, which, as mentioned, isn't even a good CPL team thus far this season.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't see the how many changes were in the lineup. I mean, did they go?
I mean, there was a lot, but a lot of them were injury enforced.
Yeah,
but there's still quality in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, if you want to go soft on a team like Atletico Ottawa and try to get through it and bundle your way through, well, that's up to you. That's down to you. And obviously, the confidence that they have in the side is, you know, giving those players an opportunity too. Obviously, didn't pan out. And it's I've been there. I've lost the lower division teams in my career too. And it is one of those embarrassing feelings, and you can't wait to get the next game over or started because you want that as far away in the distance past as you possibly can. It's something you don't want people to be talking about for very long.
Yeah, Dubs. I mean, we've spoken about this team showing real resilience this season so far, earning points late in games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've also conceded lots of points late in games, but shown resilience. But that wasn't an example of resilience. And I think as much as there weren't very many fans there post-match, the fans weren't happy. Let them know about it as well. It did feel like that the dark days aren't too far removed, and they could come back quickly with more poor performances.
Yeah, and I think my issue, though, with it, yes, the words embarrassment, and it's a long list of things that fans are unhappy with, right? You keep expecting this team to turn the page, and you get the big signings, and you want the results to follow, but they never seem to deliver. But berating, a group that includes four new signings for this match with Inter Miami looming large on the weekend, when you have 11 players out injured, and so you're kind of reading the riot act to academy kids, like, is that the way to go? I think you also have to keep a healthy perspective on what's in front of you. I understand the plight or the state of the club and the perspective that the fans have on it. They have a right to be pissed off, but I think you also have to assess what's in front of you. And maybe Fraser underestimated Mejia and Ottawa, but I think given who was on the pitch, you know, you had Fisher, you had Gilman, you had Bossenberry, you had Nolan, all signed to the short-term contracts. This is thanks to our friend John Molinaro over at TFC Republic. Fisher, Gilman, Nolan making their debuts for Toronto. 11 players out injured, as I already mentioned. You've got Messi in Miami on the weekend. You've maybe made a misstep in that you've looked past this match, thinking that it's okay, like it's we've got it in the bag, no matter who we deploy. So I think that's an error there. But I don't think the answer to it and the solution to it is to put all these kids under the microscope. That's the wrong way to go about it, whether you're the club or whether you're the fans.
Well, I mean, you look at the bench, there was quality on the bench, but there's also missing a lot of talent there as well. Like I mentioned, Chuella was there. Shaloui was there, Reem Edwards was there, Malik Henry, you know, they were there, available to Robin Fraser. And maybe, Craig, it's a bit of a demonstration also, though, how maybe that gap between CPL and MLS at the lower ebbs of MLS isn't quite as big as we thought it was. We've seen CPL teams get results before against MLS teams. And when the TFC side, that when it's all healthy and it's full strength, that 11 is pretty good. It is. But you're building here. You're trying to rebuild, essentially, despite Keith Pelly saying the rebuild is over and finished. I don't think so. The depth isn't there, clearly, even with a massive injury list.
I think that's the problem. When you start to go down a little bit lower in your team and your squad, you start to even out a little bit. But then, for teams like Atletico, this is their cup final. It's they're raising their games. So, when you talk about a gap, they can do it periodically, they can raise their standards, but can they raise their standards over every single week, every single, two games a week? And that's part of the CPL, or potentially part of the problem with some of those players, where they're lacking in that consistency, which kept them back in their career from making that step up. There's also questions from Atletico. It's like, okay, well, if you can play like that, what's been going on in the season? They're gonna expect more from their players in the CPL because you just sort of proved yourself that you can play a lot better than you have done this season. So a lot of question marks, not only for Toronto FC, but also for Ottawa.
Yeah, I think there's a definite belief that Ottawa is better than they've shown so far this season. It's been a very poor start to the campaign, but there's clearly quality on there. Balu Tabla. I mean, it's funny, the dangerous dubs in these encounters is that we start focusing on the clickbaity stuff, that the MLS team struggling and being smashed. How about we give, as Craig did there, Ottawa huge credit. Balu Tabla is a guy that has been through the ringer in his career. He came through in the Canadian football narrative as a member of the Barcelona system. Holy crap, Barcelona? Really? This guy's going to be, you know, a surefire starter for Canada for years to come. It never happened for him. He's put together a nice career now in the CPL. A hat trick for him on this stage. I'm so happy for him, not to mention the club.
And yes, and he was a guy that I missed, like when I joined CF Montreal as a sideline reporter in kind of that post-pandemic ish season, Wilfred Nancy's first year at the helm. And then Kone just starting the year after, there was a lot of comparisons to the budding talent of a Kone to Tabla and everything that he was. But then, you know, the tag that dogged them both seemed to be not the fact that they were uncoachable, but that the professionalism side wasn't necessarily shored up or where it needed to be. Hence Tabla and the long and winding road and never really finding success, even though the potential seemed to be, you know, spilling over. So I'm really pleased for him because he's 27 now?
And scores.
I was stunned to read that. I still thought he was like in his mid-20s, but he's been around the bend, right? Like he's so, like CF Montreal, Barcelona, and then CF Montreal again, Atletico Ottawa, Manisa, Atletico back again. So you love to see a guy like that establish himself and sort of cement himself in the lore. And he's done it because TFC had never previously lost to a CPL side in the Canadian Championships. But I think you look at that, like those moments of individual brilliance, as Forrest is saying, the side, the underdog, these cup sets, they're looking for something that's going to change their luck, change their fortune. And this is everything for them, especially for a guy like that on this stage. So to get a moment like that where he gets a hat trick, like he's on a brace or he bags a brace, he's on a hat trick, he scores the pen. How TFC mismanaged the end of that game. They were still leading 1-0 with 20 minutes to go in this thing. So it goes back to me to again, not to put the microscope or look at these guys on the field and put the blame on them. I think they mismanaged it from a coaching standpoint. Oso comes off at half. Like, do you think that it's all sewn up? You know, I know you're projecting forward, but at the same time, you know, like, you need to give these guys, even if they're TFC2 players or, you know, players who are on your roster regularly, they need to have the wherewithal to see a game out, even if it's against a lowly, quote unquote, CPL side. You have to be able to do that, even in those moments. So whether it's from an individual perspective or a team's perspective, I think they dropped the ball there.
I don't have much to say about, I think Craig and you have been very, very balanced and measured. And I think that's a great take. But if I'm a CPL fan, or even worse, not even worse, if I'm a CPL fan, I'm elated. Yeah. Sorry, I'm elated if I'm a CPL fan. But if I'm a TFC fan, and I went to that match last night, that's not a good look. That's not something you would pay for in any opportunity. Hey, do you want to come watch a Canadian championship match between CPL and MLS? It's Ottawa versus TFC, and they Tuesday come out night. 3-1 Tuesday night, semi rainy, not sure, dreary. You're not part of this. Is also, and this is where I have a bit of a problem with it. If you're not taking this Canadian Championship, which is our FA Cup, fucking seriously, then don't put a Is this the second year in a row that they've come out early with a CPL team beating TFC?
Oh,
no, this is the first time they've lost to a CPL side.
Okay. It's just, I get, if you're not raising this, and this goes back to the coaches, back to the executive about who's making these decisions. You want to win this game for your fans because you want to be there at the final. You want to be playing the Whitecaps another time, right? To show who's the best in Canada. And if they're not raising this trophy up or this shield up as high as it can be on a priority level, I think you got it twisted. That's all.
Listen, this team's fighting for its fans to come back anyway. We've seen it all year long. Last night, there weren't that many fans there. And this doesn't help. Now, listen, the good news is on Saturday, you're playing Miami. So at least it'd be a full stadium, presumably.
Yeah. They can now concentrate on the league.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I suppose. So, yeah. I just want to add to that, Sharms, like what Wonger's talking about. Like you have to give a fuck, right? I was looking for a clever acronym for the FA, like fuck and then an A, and I couldn't come up with something. But like we talk about our hopeometer. We talk about our hopeometer on here, but like your give a shit-a-meter has to be higher. Yes, you want to use it to blood new players, give them that experience, but there has to be balance. And I know that they're hamstrung. They quite literally, depending on the injuries, like with so many guys out. But there just has to be, at least optically, you know, like the presence, the confidence from a fan's perspective that you care. That has to be there.
How about a trade? We have a trade, a Footy Prime trade. Greg's got to leave. He's got to catch a ferry.
Yeah. Well, substitution.
Off goes Forest. In comes Frank Brennan. Yellen. The young Jimmy Brennan, known for his pace out wide. What can he add to the podcast today? Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Nice. Good. Great. Good to see everybody.
We were just talking about TFC and lower division teams and whatnot, and I'm sure you've experienced it, Jimmy. Losing to lower division teams, I think we've always been there. I'm gonna hold back a little bit on my criticism because I have, and it would be, you know, wrong of me to criticize too much because hindsight's 2020, and you know, I never made any mistakes and all that. But I think we've been there. Do you remember losing to a lower division team that you thought, "Holy shit"?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah,
in cup matches in the UK, it's never good.
Never good.
It's always difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're not easy games.
Yeah. Get the next game going as quickly as possible. Put this behind us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on then, shall we? Anyway.
Yeah.
We've got a new
Right, you have a great day.
You're bye, Forestro. Thank Thanks for coming.
Pleasure.
Goodbye.
Later,
see
bud.
See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
See ya.
So it's happy called Pick ferrying. And Choose. Essentially, it's not really an original segment. We're going to get to these topics anyway. It's just a different way of doing it. So I've got a couple of topics here. And you can pick and choose which one you want to talk about. And then we also have the mystery bag option as well. Okay. We've just lost Jimmy.
Yeah, again. I don't know where he went.
He came for a minute. Now he's
no, up. It's that every time somebody leaves, Jimmy loses audio somehow.
Oh, that's so weird.
It's been happening the last few episodes. It's very odd. But he's back. Let's see if this works. Jimmy, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Jimmy, can you hear us? Jimmy?
Yes.
Jimmy, can you hear us?
Jimmy, this is Clem Fandango. Can you hear us?
Yeah. As soon as somebody leaves, mine gets cut out. Oh, no.
That's so easy. Anyway, okay. Yeah. So this segment. So the topics are, we've got mystery bag. We have Promise David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have Ishmael Kone. Jimmy, where do you want to start? Which topic do you want to delve into?
Either or.
No, you got to pick one.
Promise.
Promise. Okay. Promise, David. Okay. So according to TSN's Matthew Schinetti, Promise is ahead of schedule in his recovery from hip surgery. He's back in training. Somewhat, you know, it's obviously not full training just yet, but he's out there. He's visible. He's doing some drills. That's great news. There's a scan at the end of this month, which will determine his availability for the World Cup. Everyone seems quite positive about it, Jimmy. But the fact of the matter is that the scan is kind of irrelevant to me. It's the end of May. Of course, he's going to be getting a scan then. Lots of players are getting a scan. But the question is, I think, can you take Promise David if he hasn't got any action under his belt? If he's only, say, cleared the train, just say, for example, cleared the train fully in June, having been out for what, 2-3 months at that point? Do you take him?
That's a good one. I think you've just really got to look at his fitness levels and see where he's at. I mean, you definitely want to bring a guy in like Promise, just that big body up top. He plays different than what we're used to seeing. And if the scan's all clear and he's fit and he's looked after himself, and I think, yeah, it's a body that you have to bring in, because we've seen him in matches before. He's the type of guy that you can bring on the last 15 minutes and he causes havoc and he can score goals. And I think we need a guy like him. You got Laren at the moment, who's on form, who's scoring goals. A couple other strikers are doing very well themselves. But I think Promise just brings you something different, whether you're chasing a game or you're holding on to a lead and you just need someone to get in behind, hold the ball up. So I think, yeah, you definitely got to bring them.
Dubs, is it fair to say that with 26-man squads, you're allowed to take one or two wild cards? And that's what this would be.
Yeah, I think that those extra three players, if you look at traditionally, it's a 23-player roster. It does give Jesse Marsh a little bit more flexibility. Whereas before, it would just be like, okay, he's going to be out for 3 months. He might be ahead of schedule because he's, I forget the word that he used, but a superhuman, right? He throws around all these, he threw around a word that starts with a V. I can't remember what it was that he said, but
venereal.
Yeah.
Venereal disease.
Correct. Vinegar. it really made me,
actually, vinegar, I think, can help venereal disease. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I've got the quote here. It says, I've been joking with the physios and surgeon that I'm practically part Viltrumite or a superhuman, so they can accelerate the process safely.
Viltrumite?
Yeah, and I was like, Googling. So it's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Metal.
Well, it apparently means, like, it's just like a synonym for superhuman. And so he is quite literally built differently. Like, you look at him, right? Like, Jimmy alluded to the fact that he's a big body up top. He does give Canada and Jesse Marsh a different profile. He's clinical in his sleep, right? He can bag goals. You get him in the box. He's going to, like, sledgehammer approach. He's going to run right through you. But there is some finesse to his game. Like, if you get him in the box, like, he's going to be able to just figure out a way to contort his body and get a foot on it. But in the way of his recovery and the way that he's progressing from this hip surgery, he's been taken care of, you know, by the best people in the world. He got surgery, like, they kind of outsourced it, and is rehab as well. And he's apparently ahead of schedule, but these things are not linear, right? So, like, whether he has pain, he alluded to it in his chat with KJ on One Soccer, like, you're, you know, you might have to dial things back. There's pain, you adjust, and there's, you know, something else happens. And then, you know, you can't have something cemented in terms of projecting forward to June 12th or to that camp in Charlotte. But I think you look at the guy, and Jimmy's talking about his fitness, even if he's ready in time, he's not going to have any game fitness. So it's exactly as you said, Sharms. It's a wild card. You're taking a risk, but I think that you put your money on Promise David because of what he can bring you. If there's even just a little glimmer of hope, a small percentage that he might be able to help you out in some regard as a sub. And so, like, if he is able to come back, he makes it onto that official roster, then Greg Bay and the medical staff for Canada get their hands on him and they try to get him fit in the way of football. So you get him healthy up until that point, and then they get their hands on him. And, like, obviously it's important end of season for Union Saint-Gilloise, but he's not going to get any minutes, right? So it's just like, we're going to, like, on a lark, we're going to get him, and we have that flexibility with those three spots, and we're going to put our money on Promise David. And me, as a pundit, as a fan, I want Jesse Marsh to put his money on Promise David because I think that squad needs him. They need that vibe. They need that flavor. They need that profile.
Maybe you use him as the nuclear option, right? He's not going to play 90 minutes at a World Cup for you. Simple. He's probably not going to play half an hour for you at a World Cup, but maybe in a desperate situation, you can bring him on for 10 minutes and he can do something. Because Jimmy, I mean, he's an elite athlete, but, like, he's a big guy. I don't know with hip surgery how you stay in shape, and how long would it take a guy like him, do you think, to get in shape? I mean, forget match fitness, but up to a point where he can be used on a regular basis at a World Cup. Say he's getting scanned late in the month. He's doing a little bit of action right now, but not how long for those kind of athletes to get fit enough?
I don't know. I mean, normally, you know, preseason, you're looking at 6 weeks to get to max peak fitness, right, going into a season. So for him to get there, and that's going to be very, very difficult because you do need game, because that's where you need your match fitness. But look, even though you're injured, it's not like you're not doing nothing, right? When you're getting treatment, you're active. I remember I tore my hip flexor. I couldn't even lift my legs. I was in the pool every day trying to keep my fitness levels up. So to find ways to keep you active. Oh, I was like Michael Phelps at one point. But you'll do something to be active, and they'll guide him in the right way so that when he does get cleared, then he can really push himself and try to get his levels up. Will he last 90 minutes in a match? Probably not. But look, if he's going to give you 30, 15, it's something that's different, and I would take him.
Yeah, I think you do too, because it's not as if there's a wealth of options up front. There just isn't. And no. Before he got injured, people were clamoring for him to get starts and to become the number nine, essentially up top there. And now, thankfully, Carl Aaron's kind of taken that mantle now, and it'll be his job, I assume, and deservedly so. Mm-hmm. That's very unfortunate, given that, you know, Taniel O'Shea, as good as he is, as hard as he works, as much as Jesse likes him, isn't scoring or playing that much at Villarreal. And I think it's
nor is Bear, nor is Russell Rowe, nor is Jebison. You know, like if those guys were buzzing, you know, we're bagging goals left and right, then maybe this might be a different conversation. But we just don't have the depth in terms of players who are scoring prolifically or regularly. So that's why I think it's so important. It's almost critical that promise is a part of that roster.
And don't forget also, this isn't always about playing the first group game. Hopefully it's a long tournament for this team. And maybe you save him, you get him back, and he's in full training for a couple of weeks. And then you have around a 32 knockout match, and he's available. That, to me, that makes it worth it. If that's an option. Wonga, you're shaking your head.
I know. I was just thinking it only took the Leafs getting the first round draft choice for Sharms to be optimistic. You see what's happening here?
I know.
No, that's all I was.
That tweet from Matt yesterday, I think it made a lot of people very happy, because I think a lot of us have just written him off.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you guys, Viltrumites are highly advanced, near invulnerable alien species of powerful humanoids from the planet Viltrum in the Invincible series. It's a cartoon. That makes sense.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
He gets his power from the yellow sun.
Yeah.
That's Superman.
Is it? Yes. Yes, it is Superman.
I'm reading Project Hail Mary right now, which is a movie just recently with Jake. Mm-hmm.
Ryan Gosling.
That's the same thing. Same actor.
No.
Same person. Never seen them in the same room at the same time, ever. Anyway, it's a good book. It's so about an alien. I've just started it, but they found alien life on this track from
don't
the
ruin
sun
it.
Venus.
Don't Sorry. Ruin it for people.
Well, that's the first part of the first like paragraph, essentially, of the book. So,
did you know Bruce Willis got shot in The Sixth Sense and he was dead all the time?
What do you mean he was dead?
In The Sixth Sense.
No, he wasn't. He was right there.
Did you know that in Star Wars?
I see dead people.
Yeah. Darth Vader was Luke's father. Did you know that? You're just rooting against
What's the name
people?
Of the kid in that movie, The Sixth Sense?
Haley Joel Osment.
What happened to him?
Haley Joel. Yeah. Sorry.
Did he achieve anything else beyond that?
No, he's still acting.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. He grew up to be a not as cute, but he's a very good actor.
Didn't have the little
curse
bold haircut.
Of the child actors, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we covered Promise pretty well. So, Dubsy, the next choice.
Okay, but wait, can I?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I think my internet's shitty, so sorry if I'm lagging. But I just wanted. Okay, good. Remember when we had him on and Wonger, it was like part of your lovely get to know me on Footy Prime, mm-hmm. and you asked him about his favorite food and it was like junk food, right? Or it was cereal like
was
a sugary.
Big one. Sugar cereal, yeah.
Sugary cereal, but I think the guy loves his sugar. So he's talking about how in the hopes to try to streamline and accelerate his recovery, it's bled into everything, right? It's not just rehab in the morning, sleep, rehab in the afternoon, and then repeat. It's also his diet, right? Which is a huge part of your rehab and your recovery. So he's cut out sugar and he's like oatmeal, raisin cookies with no sugar. He's like, I don't recommend it. And he's like, I'm not a salad guy. I hate salad. He's like, there is basically just glorified weeds. He said, but I'm trying to eat more salad. So you can tell the guy's doing everything like in his utmost, or he's doing his utmost to return.
And he's eating salad.
Cutting out sugar and eating salad.
Yeah. Well, if we learned anything from The Simpsons and Homer, is you don't make friends with salad.
No, you don't. As my family likes to remind me. Don't
make friends with salad. You don't win friends.
Oh, that's one. Okay, Dubs. You got a couple of choices here. You have the mystery bag. Okay. You've got Ishmael Cunningham. We're going to get to them both eventually anyway. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter.
Okay, let's do mystery bag then.
Okay. This is good, actually. It's interesting. Now, there's a report out there that for this World Cup, FIFA is considering players being sent off for covering their mouth while talking during a match. They're saying it just the idea is to stop players from hiding what they're saying, and also Penny walking off in protest is an instant dismissal. This is being discussed right now, just discussed. The whole covering your mouth, it's a new thing the last few years, it seems. Now there's more cameras right now, social media, there's more, you know, risk I guess associated with it. Do you agree that should be a red card sending off offense? Seems a bit harsh.
Yes. It seems a bit harsh, but I think if you want it out of the game, you have to take a stance on it.
Sorry.
Somebody about meeting up at the club later, then great. But I mean, if you're going to do that on the field, then it has to be, you just don't do it, right? Because if it's covering up racist or homophobic, you know, words or sentences that you're trying to intimidate the opponent with, or disparage, demean, get the fuck, you know, get out of here. Yeah, get that out of the game.
So I talked to Forrest about this when he came down a week ago or so, and I was just asking, I go, is that how people communicate covering their mouth, like racist, or they're actually whispering it or something? Is that what they're doing? Or, and then this is the other thing, I go, because I've seen other sports where people just go, because they're talking to their teammate and they don't want the other player to hear it, the other team. So I'm just kind of like, is it 100% that they're all, this is how the abuse begins, is the covering of the mouth? That I found that rather, I don't know. It seems
I think it's stupid.
It seemed weird to me. Go it ahead, does. Jimmy. Yeah.
I do. I think it's dumb. Because, I mean, if I'm walking on the pitch and I'm going up to a teammate and I'm like, hey, listen, we're changing. We're going into a 4-4-2, right? Tell so-and-so go here and go there. And a lot of the times, because guys after games are having conversations and it's nobody else's business with the conversation that they're having. I mean, why? Because they're on camera, that everybody's got to be involved in my conversation after a match or even during a match if I'm talking to somebody. Sometimes they just cover their mouth so nobody knows what they're talking about and they get on with it. Now, if it's racial, you'll know right away because you can see the guy's face and he's going, fuck, you just called me something, which I have no time for. But for the rest of the stuff, if you're talking tactics or talking to a couple of guys or you're having a little laugh with an opposite player and you put your mouth over because you don't want them to see what you're saying, I don't think it's a big deal. Who cares?
I do find it annoying, but I don't think that's grounds for it being implemented. You know,
a red card for going like that and talking.
Yeah. It seems to be absurd to me. And it's just being discussed by FIFA. And generally speaking, FIFA get everything right. So it probably won't be passed.
when did this all start, though? Right? Like, I know that the coverage of the games has modernized and technology has taken over, and there's so many cameras. You've got the one on the wire, it's practically a drone. So every single movement or word that you're uttering is tracked.
And yeah, exactly.
Right. So I understand that. And as a player, whether it's between a player, your captain and the coach, or between two players on the pitch and you're talking tactics, there should be privacy, or you should be able to have a moment there and not have anything or everything analyzed. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in the same breath, I recognize as a player that would be intrusive, right? Because nothing is yours anymore. It's all out there for public consumption. But it's these fucking cowards who use that very thing to stand behind that and to justify the fact or to rationalize the fact that they can talk to somebody and demean them and disparage them and call them awful things. Get that out of the game. And so if this stands, I mean, maybe a red card is much too harsh, but you have to, if you're FIFA as the governing body, take a stance on it. So that I don't disagree with that. But like, where do you draw the line at this point? Like, where do you say it's too much?
I would argue that then it's the penalty that has to stand a lot stronger, not this. But when someone is caught, like this keeps repeating itself, because from bananas being thrown to people being called homophobic slurs, this continues because there's not harsh enough penalties mm-hmm. from... And so make the penalty much harsher, not about the instance for a player, because I just think of, a gridiron, football, American football, Canadian football. They're always covering their mouths when they're calling plays. There's a level of privacy, a level of gamesmanship and strategy. And so what happens to me going back to, there's got to be a little bit of privacy for the players, so it's not so intrusive. And the way you fix it is on the back end and say, hey, we're not going to stand for this anymore. You're done for the year. You're done for 6 months. You're not playing again this year. You have to, like, this is the, and you're not only that, once that happens, then other teams go, I don't want a problem in the dressing room. I don't want, you know, that is kind of how I would deal with it. So
yeah, so the issue is not covering your mouth. It's racist people saying racist things.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So hold on. If I may, pardon me. So I just cover my mouth.
would it not just, I mean, why not just avoid that whole thing and mic all the players? for real. That's basically what it is. It's like, you can't open your mouth anymore. For those small amount of players that are pieces of shit, pardon my language, then it's fantastic. It's awful. Like fuck them and get them out. But for everybody else, it's like, if you're trying to, you know, say, okay, we're going to do this, or we're going to do this play or something, I mean, you might as well just mic the players if you're not allowed to, they're not allowed to communicate anymore.
Right? But they were able to, before the mouth covering became something, presumably there's still tactical discussions on the football field. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they can do it. Right.
Sorry. Is this recent that people have been caught doing
once the cameras are all over the place, social media now. So everybody's filming players, lip reading. They know everything that they're saying. And then it gets posted. So the players were like, you know, enough's enough.
Right. Like, okay, so there was a reason for it. This isn't out of the blue, but it seemed just out of the blue for me. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, just texting my wife.
What?
Yeah, okay, good. Sorry. Just doing a bunch of stuff all at once. Sorry. should have done that and told you that behind my closed mouth, which wouldn't work in a podcast, actually.
No.
No.
Because you're mic'd up.
Yeah. Okay. We've got another. Actually, I have one more mystery bag, but also Ishmael Kone mm-hmm. in his future. Jimmy, do you want to go there?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay. So Fabrizio Romano has tweeted.
Yeah.
And Fabrizio Romano is saying that Ishmael Kone has a 35 million euro release clause in his contract at Sassuolo. It's valid until the end of July, when several clubs keen in Italy, as AC Milan director Tare also confirmed, and also in the UK, talks to follow even before the World Cup. Already his really breakthrough season at Sassuolo, Jimmy, has turned some heads. AC Milan's looking at him. As mentioned, there's some teams in the UK as well. Is he not better off staying for another year at Sassuolo? What would you advise Ismail Kone if there was significant interest?
I think if AC Milan come calling, I think you got to go, don't you? I mean, it'd be crazy to turn that down and just be like, oh, you know, I'm going to have one more year here and then let's see what happens. I'd be telling him right away, if AC Milan want you, go. Go. You're in form. You're playing well. You know Italian football. You're doing well in the league. You've adjusted to it. I wouldn't go to England. I would stay in Italy. Just because it just seems like that football really suits him. Right? He's been in France, did okay. He's already been in England. If I was him, I'd stay in Italy and go to AC Milan if they came calling. Wouldn't even think twice.
So do we think the experience with De Zerbi, that's the anomaly? And then that was kind of that led everything to go pear-shaped. And so you're not worried about him going into a different club with a different manager and might risk kind of upsetting the apple cart after he's on this upward trajectory at Sassuolo?
Well, I mean, I said it in the past that I think you're starting to see a mature Kone right now who's just getting it and understanding what it means to be a professional footballer. Mm-hmm. And that's shown in his performances, and that's why people are taking notice, right? I think he was younger. His mentality was probably different. Sometimes you need to be humbled a little bit, and I think he has been humbled. And I think he's at a club right now where he's settled in. He's enjoying his football. The professionalism is settling in with him. And I think he's in a good place, and I think he's ready for that opportunity, especially going into a World Cup. If he has a great performance there and ends up going to AC Milan, I think it'd be so good for him. Really would be.
Yeah, I mean, he's got value now, a good World Cup, and that could turn a lot more, many more heads, right? More options at the same time. If he doesn't have a good World Cup, the opposite can happen, right? I wouldn't be a footballer in this position. He's 23, so he's still a young footballer, but he's not a kid. And he's got some football miles under his belt. Right.
What is no longer a kid? What is, because I 23 is so young.
When I know, but kid, not in football worlds. I know. No, it is. Know. It's so young. But in football circles, I think 22.
You're still a kid at 22?
I think
I was going to
so.
Say like maybe right around 20, like a little bit above, like Sharm's just saying, maybe the ceiling 22 and a little bit younger than that. And then depending on the character, the individual, the personality, right? Some kids are so mature. And it belies their years, you know, their maturity does. But I think Kone had a lot of growing to do because he wasn't part of a traditional academy setup in CF Montreal. Played for CS Saint-Laurent, NTG, like club football. So he didn't have the benefit of all that. We've talked about that. But now I think that, yes, of course, like the accelerant here is not the talent. We always knew that was there. But now it's Marsh, it's the tutelage, it's the guidance, the mentorship under him. Being in Italy, I think, has really served him well. But I think the accelerant in the equation for Kone is the maturation, is the personality, is the character development, and also understanding who he is and having confidence in that so that he can ride the ebbs and flows of the season a lot better.
I mentioned it before, I think, but I was around him a little bit in the last camp for a couple of interviews, and it really struck me how thoughtful, how mature he seemed. A really likable guy as well. You know, and we all heard this stuff about him being hard to coach at Marseille and all this bullshit. We saw the infamous video. It's all bullshit, I think. You know, from what I saw, he's obviously grown up and matured. And like Jimmy said, he's been humble perhaps. But that's a guy that you could interview and have a really great conversation with about anything, I think. And that's refreshing. So he's 23, but he seems like an old 23 at this point. Mm-hmm. So that said, come to England. Mm. Just so selfish from a selfish standpoint. I want to see him play some Prem, maybe. It'd be a Prem League club. We'll be looking at him. And from our standpoint, we watch more Prem than Syria, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So come on.
But I mean, with suitors, you've got the Milan derby, right? Because you've got Milan and Inter, who are apparently, rumor has it, after him, and Juve. So, I mean, those are three fucking humongous, gigantic clubs in world football, right? And as Jimmy's saying, he suits it. He suits that type of football. Yes, things are going to change a little bit, slightly, and they'll be more nuanced depending who you're playing with. But you're playing in Serie A, Jimmy, you kind of know the brand of football that you're getting into, even if you're hopping clubs.
Yeah, correct. I mean, it just suits him. He's playing good football at the moment. So why change? Stay in the league. I would.
Yeah.
Nice place to be for Ismaël Koné. Good for him. From what we saw, a year and a half ago or whenever it was at Marseille. And all that nonsense. Because he actually played really well at times at Marseille, especially when you first got there.
Yeah. Well, I think also Dubs mentioned Jesse Marsh. You know, there was that opportunity. We were watching the match at downtown. Dubs, remember the Romania match? And he got taken off, and he seemed to be, there was a way he could have been, it could have gone the other way. And Jesse Marsh had a chat with him, and everything seemed to, ever since that moment, because that would have been like another kind of the third strike or whatever the number would have been. But ever since that moment,
the optics of that were shit.
Yeah, they were shit. But this could have been the third, like I said, whether it's the fans thinking it's a third strike, the media thinking it's a third strike. Jesse kind of took the bull by the horns right there. Hey, you know, I should have had a conversation with him about how I was going to do things. So ever since that point, though, it's kind of gone like this for him. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the little mountain climber on Price is Right?
I love that one.
The Swiss mountain climber.
And he's yodeling?
Yeah, I think he's been yodeling. Kone's been yodeling is what I'm saying here.
What's amazing, and don't forget this, that he was the next big thing at the last World Cup. He was part of that squad. He played minutes.
At the World Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, he was.
He was.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were thinking that. Right? I was thinking.
And we're saying, this kid's Atiba's replacement in 4 years' time. And guess what? He's Atiba's replacement in 4 years' time. Mm-hmm. And that was questioned the last few years. But there's no doubt now. And please, someone jump in if you don't agree with this. But a fully healthy Ismaël Koné starts for Canada.
Oh.
No debate, right?
No debate.
No, I agree.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see. Could be a fun summer. Mm-hmm. For a lot of these Canadian players, actually. How many days away are we from the World Cup now? June the 12th.
40?
May the 6th today or something, is it?
Yeah.
May the 6th. Twins are 12. May the 6th.
Hey, happy birthday, twins.
Yeah.
Campbell and Evie.
Size 12. It's crazy. I'm like, I can't believe they're 12. JP's like, I can fucking believe it. He feels like the kids have been around forever. Yeah, that's and I'm the mom. I'm like, I can't believe they're 12. He's like, Jesus Christ, I can.
Yeah.
12 years ago, my favorite pub burned down, as Craig would say.
down.
All right, listen, well, that's probably about it. Anything else you want to get to?
Oh, no, but it was funny. I was listening to yesterday's pod, and the broadcast was brilliant. So jump on that. They did their best 11, but lots of insight. And our little Tim Hortons commercial played right before it. So it was great. It made me smile hearing our voices.
Did it.
It was
fun. Great.
But we've got to fix it, right?
Yeah, there's one we have to fix, but yes. So, and then I went, I don't know if people saw our Twitter, but I went and bought all of the, oh my God, the Brazilian lime.
Cheesecake
or key lime cheesecake.
It's just got the icing down a strip on the donut.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It does.
That's so dirty.
It is. Yes. But anyways, it was fun. And then the other thing I was thinking was a lot of people are doing this now to say, I love you. And I hate it.
So do I.
But I would
Red card it.
But I would love it if I knew what the opposite of like what the hate sign would be. Can we come up with a hate sign?
Don't do that. That's very different, Dubs.
The vibe. Yeah.
But there's one, like the modern heart, like some people still do that one. But then like the kids are doing one where it's just like a heart with the thumb and the index.
They're also doing like this or something.
Yeah. That's the one, isn't
and
it?
And it's supposed to be like right here. Tracy's anyways. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes. I thought that meant crumbs. And my niece was like, Auntie, that's a heart. I'm like,
it's a little heart. It's like, I kind of like you a little bit.
I just hate them all.
So once again, I'm looking for a symbol, a hand symbol that means hate. We need the opposite. Yeah. It's not, it's been taken over too much.
It's the emoji with the hand covering the mouth to loop us back to that conversation.
Right. That's eight.
No, that's really low.
I wanted to
should be on camera the whole time.
You're talking about listening to the Broads and then the Tim Hortons commercial playing. So our friend Adam Jenkins just texted me out of the blue, all caps, Tim's Tastes of the World. And I was like, yes, Jenkins. I was like, gave me chills.
I saw Jenkins last week actually in the parking lot of One Sucker, and his schedule is just freaking crazy. He was doing Korean golf.
Yeah.
I think two CPL games, something else. He's just flying back and forth. He's just, I don't know how he got by with so little sleep, but still did his usual great job. It's it's impressive, to say the very least. Young people don't need sleep. He'll catch you up, Adam.
Believe me.
He'll catch up to you. All right, everyone. Our store is still up right now, JC, is it not?
Yeah. Until Friday.
You want some cool merch? Our store, you can find it on wearefootyprime.com. It's still available till this Friday. Then it'll go down for a while. But there's still lots of great stuff available, including a number of sales so far for the Footy Prime Sucks t-shirt.
It's brilliant.
I like the band one. I think I have to get the band one. So does that mean, JC, I have to buy it tomorrow at the latest, Thursday, because Friday, because it's a pop-up?
No, we'll keep it up until, we'll keep it up on Friday. Friday will be the last day that you can get it.
Okay.
And then they're gone forever.
Just jump into the Footy Prime coffers and get us all a t-shirt or something.
All right.
I want the tank top too.
I don't want you to have the tank top. Get a long sleeve.
Thanks. All right, anyone. Like and review and give us 5 stars and all that good stuff. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Good.
Is that it? Yes, that your ending?
Yeah.
You buy newspapers.
Happy ending.